Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here tonight on Bridie on TV, the Tenpenny Files on your health. You know, for the last 23, almost 24 years now, I've done literally thousands of interviews on radio, TV, podcasts, live conferences, seminars, all those things. And almost all my information was always just on vaccines and one way or another. But with decades of medical training and experience, there's so many other things to talk about that I wanted to discuss. So consider this to be an educational show where we bring you valuable information and lots of great guests on your health. Tonight, we've had a whole bunch of difficulties with the technology here on Skype. I'm having issues on my end. She's having issues on her end. We've kind of concluded there was some sort of a Skype update that's just messed us all up. So we're going to do our best to at least have an audio portion of this show as we continue on here. So we're going to have a short break. Tonight, my special guest is Mel Kay. Let me introduce her when we come right back on the other side of this break.
Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant, you can take it when you're nursing, you can give it to little children, you can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water, because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out. The heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years.
Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome back. Welcome back to my show, The Tenpenny Files on Your Health. Before I introduce you to today's special guest, let me say a word about our upcoming 5 Docs Boot Camp. Enrollment is now open. Classes start on April the 4th with the 5 Docs. And I'm sure most of you know, or maybe all of you know who the 5 Docs are, but just in case there's a few listening that don't, it's me, Dr. Larry Pilevsky, Dr. Christian Northrup, Dr. Carrie Madej, and Dr. Lee Merritt. We sort of branded ourselves 3 years ago now as the 5 Docs. And we've done a couple of interviews and different things before, but we did a boot camp last year. We're doing another 5-week boot camp this year. It starts April 4th, that for every Thursday night after critically thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P, that we will have the 5 Docs event. It will start from 8:30 p.m. till about 10, quarter to 10 or so Eastern time. If you have registered for the event, you have lifetime access to it. And by entering into, to register the event, you go to learning4you.org/5 5 Docs 2024. So let me say that one more time. It's learning4you.org/5 Docs 2024. Learning for You is my sister site. It's the sister site to drtenpenny.com, where we have all of our educational programs, and it has a really nice and a really nicely done portal. It's easy to access that as we record each week on the 5 Docs Bootcamp, it will go in there and you can rewatch it. You will have lifetime access to that. It'll be 5 Docs or 5 weeks with 2 weeks with each one of the docs covering really important information. You can read about it when you go to that portal, learningforyou.org/5 Docs 2024. And we will end the 5 weeks. There will be a 4-hour Saturday morning webinar on Saturday morning, May the 4th, from 10 a to 2 p on solutions. It will be solutions for mind, body, and spirit, and then an hour of Q&A with the 5 Docs. You're getting a great bargain to be able to spend 9 hours with physicians on all sorts of topics. We hope a lot of people will join us. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be very interesting. It'll be topics from us that you've not ever heard before and topics that you probably haven't heard anywhere else. So we hope that you'll join us. And even though Mel Kay doesn't really need an introduction, let me tell you just a little bit about her. Mel Kay is a devoted lover of truth, facts, history, God, and America. After growing up in a tight-knit family outside of Philadelphia, she graduated with honors from New York University with concentrations on journalism and film. She went on to spend 20 years working in film, television, and investigative journalism in Hollywood before moving back to New York to focus full-time on The Mel Kay Show, where she exposes the truth and explores our recent history. The Mel Kay Show is laser-focused, and it is because I've listened to a lot of her programs, on educating and informing the public on the malevolent geopolitical forces that are hell-bent on ending our nation states and establishing top-down governance and complete micromanaged surveillance and control. Mel seeks to find unity and strength among people worldwide, always armed with the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bible. Mel Kay fears no evil, as she is confident that God always wins. Mel, welcome to the Tenpenny Files on your health tonight. I can't believe we were talking before we went live. We're always circling each other, but we've not been on each other's show. So I'm so grateful to have you here tonight.
Well, thank you so much. And there's a Skype update and you can't really see me, but I see you and I'm a huge fan. I'm very grateful for, your fight and your struggle and all you've done for everyone. I have, like you said, we've been like two ships in the night for 3.5 years, crossing each other all over the country. And it's a great honor to be here. And thank you for having me.
Oh, you bet. This has been just someone sent me a text today saying that it was 4 years ago today. It seems like 40 years. We've been talking about this so much and so much has happened. 4 years ago today, when the first lockdowns and shutdowns of COVID-19 happened in March of 2020. Can we start with maybe a little bit of a recap of what you think from beginning till now? I mean, all of us know about the myth of the mask, the nonsense of the social distancing, the fraud of the PCR testing, and the horrors of the jab. What do you think they've accomplished by doing this? And what do you think their next move is?
Well, very interesting about me is that I was locked down in New York City in Manhattan. And it was they went all in New York City. And it was pretty crazy. And during the 2 weeks to stop the spread, I was a screenwriter and I wrote historical drama. So I had written screenplays about times in history that seemed very, very ominous as we were going into that. One of my screenplays I wrote was about Eichmann in Jerusalem, the Hannah Arendt's story about the banality of evil, where she had covered the Eichmann trial in Israel, the only Nazi who was tried in Israel. And during that time, I studied 1930s Germany. I wanted to really understand this guy. And it took a lot out of me. So while I was studying that, then when COVID hit and I started to see some of what they were doing, and I had known about typhus and how they got, how they convinced people to go first into the ghettos, and that Auschwitz was actually a quarantine camp, and that the first several years people went willingly, and what was really going on there. It's funny, you brought up Dr. Northrup, and I had her on in the very beginning, and I said, this is very, very weird. It's very similar. And then during the 2 weeks to stop the spread in New York City, something happened. And because of my research and my work, my antennas went up. Governor Cuomo came on TV with two men. And we all know them now. One was Bill Gates and the other was Eric Schmidt, behind Alphabet and Google, obviously right now the main science and tech advisor to the Biden regime, and apparently creating the AI Bill of Rights. And Governor Cuomo announced that they were reimagining New York. And I looked at Rob and I go, wait a minute, it was 2 weeks to stop the spread. Now Cuomo's talking about reimagining New York with Gates and Schmidt. I said, something is very, very wrong here. And from that day on, I'd seen you and many other great doctors out there. I had doctors on. We were both touring the country, kind of waking people up that something was very wrong. And looking back, I think that press conference with Cuomo, Gates, and Eric Schmidt was more telling than anything else. Because right after that in New York, I will tell you, they started putting up a lot of surveillance. They were digging up these streets, and we were in major lockdown, and you're walking out and you're walking down the streets and you're like, why are the streets all open? The port, the the potholes are all opened up, and then, you know, we're seeing them put up surveillance all over. There was already a kiosk on every corner in Manhattan, but, you know, now they're putting up more and more, and it just seemed like, okay, so they're going full speed ahead with this track and trace surveillance that I've been reading about for a long time. And then, you know, the rest is history. But I really do believe that a lot of this was about the fourth industrial revolution, the Great Reset, and Agenda 2030. And they felt that, I believe, that they were behind. And here they were to accelerate it and using what I call the plandemic as a catalyst for a full surveillance situation.
You know, they've gone from making all these targets that everything they talked about being all these lofty goals that they put out that they think are so great that we should just, you know, own nothing and be happy and would love living in a 15-minute city. And wouldn't that just be great to have social IDs and have our eyes scanned every time we want to walk in anywhere? All the things that they say that are they thought were going to be so super great, but they've turned out to be just the opposite. I honestly believe that the World Economic Forum and their ilk had no idea about, they're so disconnected from humanity. They had no idea of the resilience of the human spirit and that people were just not going to do this. And I think they were taken by surprise by the blowback of all the things that we've done. But they've trying over and over. They did it all the way through the last 4 years on censorship and on getting people shutting things down. It was a top-down activity from the White House directly against all the social media companies. And we all got shut down and knocked off. And millions of people died because we weren't allowed to say what was correct. What do you think is going on with all of that censorship now? It seems as though it's kind of burbling in the background and just waiting for the next wave. What is your take on
that? I agree with that for sure. And, you know, a big part of what I do is I follow the money around the world, and I identify that Agenda 2030 is really what this is all about, because the whole Agenda 2030 and the 17 development goals are really for the global governance model that was way back. You can trace it back to Rockefeller, Kissinger, Brzezinski, and the Crown right after World War II. They kind of kicked in this idea of global governance. And I mean, they speak about it. It's in all their documents. It evolved to Agenda 21, then Agenda 2030. And what we really have to understand is those 17 goals, they cover everything that we're talking about, from education to healthcare to, you know, track and trace surveillance, biometric data. Many of the things that have come out of this are part of that. And it's all about what I believe they've done, and I call it the octopus of global control, including the WHO, the UNESCO, IPCC, the World Economic Forum, UN, but also the World Bank, IMF, BIS, Council of Foreign Relations, some of the NGOs, including the Gates Foundation, Open Society, and Rockefellers, is that they believe that they are basically the parent company that runs planet Earth, and that we're all just kind of lucky to live here. And a lot of this has to do with them centralizing power in a way to, I guess, as far as they're concerned, is to turn the world into a kind of track and trace surveillance communist world. What a lot of people don't get about this iteration, I call it the Fourth Reich, anyone can call it whatever they want. What people don't get about this group is that they're at this one, we can't look at Germany or England or somewhere else. This is a group, a billionaire oligarchy, a globalist billionaire oligarchy that consider themselves the stakeholders of America and the world, not in America, the world. And basically what we have here is that these people have no allegiance to any flag, to any nation, to any people, to any religion. They are power for power's sake, as warned basically in 1984. The state in 1984 explained that they were power for power's sake and that the Bolsheviks and the Nazis did not do it quite as well as they did. And what we are dealing with is that the Chinese Communist Party and oligarchs all over the world, some with one foot in Russia and one foot in Ukraine, and some, you know, with one foot in the Muslim world and one foot in Israel. And these are a different ilk of people that really, truly believe that they are going to be keeping power and putting people on global digital IDs that include your healthcare, your vaccine passport, your climate trace, your ESG score, One World Banking. And it's totally backfired, is the truth. And at this point, we have a very desperate situation where these people are holding on by any means necessary. And the scariest part is that most people don't know that Barack Obama signed us on to Agenda 2030 in 2015. And every almost basically executive order from that day forward has been geared towards this global governance. And again, they create the problem and then they come in with the solution. But their whole thing, if you look up Agenda 2030 on any one of these websites, first of all the language is identical, just like it was during Build Back Better and, you know, all the COVID stuff. It's the same thing, same language, all connected. And people have to realize the UN and the World Economic Forum are one and the same, and they have been since Kofi Annan. We just didn't realize it. And what they say in all their language is that the nation state is over, that there's no more nation state, basically, that global problems require global solutions. So I believe that what they did was they created global problems in order for us to say, okay, we give up, you make the changes you need to make because it's a global problem. So we obviously need global governance and a global solution. And again, that'll go all the way to what I call the international banking cartel and these globalist groups that really do believe that they are the arbiters of what goes on planet Earth. And they also believe that they are gods. And I see the whole world waking up slowly but surely. But I really do believe that we are well past the point of complying with their plans, and it makes it a dangerous time, but also a very exciting time to be alive.
Yeah, it's dangerous in my opinion, because when you look backwards in time, and I know you saw this because all of us who are out there doing all the speaking and stuff did. If you went to the original first World Economic Forum website, where whoever built that, it took a long time to build. It was very techy, and you could push one button and everything would move around and you could get all those different things. But there was nothing in there for a plan B. I mean, they were just so sure that we were going to go for all of this sort of thing. And so what I feel about is being a scary time is it's sort of like a caged animal or an angry and wounded animal. Let's say that a wounded animal that when you back them into a corner, they don't just roll over and put their legs up in the air and want you to pet their belly. They get really angry and they come out even like really coming to kill you and grab your throat. And I think that that's what they're doing right now is that when you say that they're desperate, they're trying all kinds of things because, I mean, when you look at all the revolts that are going on, the farmer revolts going on in Germany and the Netherlands and the different places like that, I mean, it seems like Europe is able to fight back better than, or at least taking a stand better than us. And I think that the reason for that here in the States, number one, United States land mass is really big. It's really hard to get organized when it's so large. And then the second thing, they're using J6 and all the people being in jail as a threat. They're using it as a club, like how dare you stand up and to try to redress government again. Would you agree with that? Do you think that's so?
Oh, I think 100%. And I think we're going to find out a lot about that very soon. But we also have to look at ourselves and what we allowed to happen. I believe that the biggest infringement on our liberty, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and our freedom was the Patriot Act. And what happened at the Patriot Act, people have to understand the Patriot Act was written well before 9/11 and they couldn't get it through. And after 9/11, and I honestly believe at this point, both Bushes, Obama, Biden, and Clinton are all globalists and that they were all involved in this entire thing because a lot of it comes also out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission. A lot of these different groups were aligned with Rockefeller who created the UN and the whole idea of global governance in cahoots with the Crown. So we have to really look at a lot of that stuff to understand where we are now. But you brought up before the censorship and the track and trace surveillance. And you and I obviously were both censored as much as you could be, but were also found in the Twitter files and found in this files and that files. And what really happened is that we have to be honest about America's part in this and what is happening to the American people, not just January 6th, but how January 6th was even able to happen is really because when the Patriot Act was passed, it was always intended to spy on us, just like, you know, the DARPA and other people funded Google and Facebook. And the stories we know about that are not real. The truth is that we have a fourth branch of government that is unconstitutional, should not exist, has no oversight, has nobody watching it. A lot of these agencies, DHS, TSA, DNI, they came And then Holder and Obama doubled down with making a Department of Homeland or National Security in the DOJ. They all work together to spy on American citizens. We give them the ability to give us a license, a birth certificate, and a social security card. That should be it. And what they have now with these 702s and a lot of the things that happened to both you and I are relationships between this unconstitutional fourth intelligence branch and big tech. So they have skipped all of due process, all of, you know, the Fourth Amendment, many other amendments, to tell you the truth, and decided that we are to be, have no privacy, and that they don't really need evidence of any of us committing a crime or anything else to put us under surveillance. This warrantless 702 surveillance is how they did Crossfire Hurricane. Well, they went on steroids when COVID came in, and anyone that was questioning them became a domestic terrorist. And that is what the whole entire Patriot Act and then the DOJ under Holder, the DNS, and the, quite frankly, the American people should be asking, not asking, demanding that this be repealed and that no American citizen's privacy is violated under any circumstance for any reason without evidence of a crime. And where we are now is that they've gone through big tech and skipped the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And that is exactly also what the Great Reset was. They went through the banks and the corporations to make control our behavior during COVID. And the American people are being left out because our Constitution and our Bill of Rights is being ignored. And it's up to us. And January 6th is why we are not, I believe, 500,000 people strong in D.C. demanding that we have our country back.
Yeah, you know, it's not. I don't think that our Bill of Rights and our Constitution are being ignored. I think they've been shredded. Yeah. I think as far as the people that are in charge of our country, like Congress, whoever the heck they are, those lame people are, and the Department of Justice, the FBI, I mean, all the people that are supposed to be employed by the government, us, to protect and do things for us, they have just trampled all over top of it. I would just say the ignoring needs a little bit stronger word for what they've done for all of this, because they have absolutely shredded it. And they don't want, and I've often said, Mel, I've said for many, many years, you know, there's 554, I think, people in Congress sitting down there, and there's 320 million of us.
Right.
And we all know where they live. Why are we not? I mean, you don't have to do anything like doxing their addresses, because they're already out there in public knowledge. Why do we let them get away with this? Why aren't we stronger at that? Is it that we personally who live here, the vast majority of us, we don't know our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, and we don't know that we can be something other than pacifists?
Yeah, I think it's also a lot of, you know, I spent 20 years as a writer in Hollywood. A lot of this is learned helplessness and predictive programming and propaganda that has made us believe that somehow that we treat our government like it's above us, like these people somehow are superior in some way. That is not true. Most people like you or I, we didn't pursue being politicians and having living in a never-ending popularity contest where we're raising money all the time. We actually went out there and did things and followed our dreams and became the best we could be at what we do. We are being run by, honestly, at this point, a criminal syndicate is the truth. And honestly, I believe that our entire government is fully captured from top to bottom, to the point that I think that fourth branch that I'm talking about is more power than the other three, and no oversight, no checks and balances, and they've all allowed it to happen. I don't know if they're compromised or blackmailed or were in on financial gain or some sort of thing, but I think once you go into that swamp, it's very hard not to become it. And I feel like we have one of those situations like Nietzsche warned about with staring into the abyss. The abyss becomes you. I really do not believe that what is going on in D.C. is salvageable. I think it is that bad. And I think it really needs to be built, you know, from scratch. And we really need to get to the bottom of what really happened with COVID, because I think that that's the best way for us to dismantle what doesn't work. We have tons of unconstitutional agencies. If we went back to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, we could actually get back to a country that is by the people, for the people. But until we have the courage to do that, or somebody in there that's willing to pull out the roots, we will be where we are.
I think you're absolutely right. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more. I've got about 4 hours worth of questions to ask you. When we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to take a quick break right now. So sit tight. We're going to be back in just a minute with Mel Kay, and more coming up on Your Health with Dr. T.
Gold and silver always has value. It never goes to zero. And it's a great place to store your wealth. It's a great place to have it for inheritance, for your children, for your grandchildren. And when you can actually get the coins itself, when you can actually do that, you can actually even have a coin collection. I think that some of the older Walking Liberty silver dollars are just amazing, that come from the early 1900s. And I think that everybody should have some of those, not only for history, but as a place to protect your wealth, protect your money going forward. It never goes to zero. Like our paper fiat money with hyperinflation and the things that we may be seeing in the future, our dollar could literally go to zero. It could be worth nothing. You might not even be able to barter with it, but you will always have value in gold and silver. You'll always be able to eat with it. You'll be able to trade with it. And it's a great place to store your wealth. Particular company that we work with, because we really, again, trust their product. We believe that this company has a high level of integrity and they are great with customer service. To learn more, go to bit.ly/gold-silver-DRT. That's bit.ly/gold-silver-DRT. There are an awful lot of people that are affiliates for Mike Lindell because we all really appreciate what he does for this country. We appreciate the hard work that he does, and we appreciate his products. He has more than 200 products in his store, everything from pillowcases and comforters to doggy beds and to wonderful slippers and bathrobes. There's something for everybody and something for everybody in each age group. I mean, one of the things that I really like a lot are the pillowcases, the children's Bible story pillowcases that I just think are such a great way when you tuck your child into bed at night to use these pillowcases that they come from his store to start to tell the story about Adam and Eve and Noah and the Ark and different things. And they're colorful and they're really pretty. So from children all the way up to your gentlemen that want to have like nice slippers or to your dog, the doggy beds and things are just wonderful. So my pillow is a great place to shop for just about anything that you want. And if you use our affiliate code DRT, that helps us, that can benefit us, that helps Mike Lindell, and you'll get a great product for anybody that you're shopping for.
Well, welcome back, everyone. I hope you joined us for the first part of the show with this really lively discussion tonight with Mel Kay. We've just been having a great time. We've had a little bit of technical difficulty with Skype. Apparently, Skype did some sort of an update, and my Skype isn't working right, and her Skype isn't working right. But thankfully, we can't really see each other, but we can hear each other. So we're going to continue on with this great conversation we're having that we started out with tonight. You know, you mentioned before we went into the break that there's just so much that's been shredded with the Constitution, and I really have a big thing coming up. In fact, I'll just throw a plug in here one more time that with our Five Docs Boot Camp, my section that I'm going to be talking about, and I've dug out some pretty important stuff on censorship. And censorship happened to all of us in such a big way. I mean, I'm still permanently banned from Facebook, Instagram, PayPal, Podbean. I'm permanently lifetime banned from those things. And being barred from PayPal is kind of a pain. It's really kind of a pain. So, and I was reinstated on Twitter. And interestingly enough, that when I got reinstated, I was reinstated with the, 100,000 followers that I had before we went into COVID. But I don't know quite what to make of Twitter now called X. What's your take on that whole issue with social media, particularly focused on Twitter?
Never reinstated. The Mel Kay Show wasn't. So I restarted at Mel Kay Show without the D. So I started from zero on Twitter not too long ago. And I'll tell you, first and foremost, I think that it's great that people now are able and interact again. I still think that there's a lot of censorship and suppression on there as there is. But there is a problem on there that I do see, which is people that have gigantic accounts are accepted as authorities or people that know more or people that have information. And oftentimes those accounts, I call them Twitter celebrities, say 500,000 or more. Like you and I were both kicked off there for almost 3 years. So these people continue to grow and build, and God bless them for that if that makes them happy. And now there is a financial model to it too. So people are putting up things, you're seeing the same stuff, it's the same people pop up. The danger there's two things, because I've really dug into There's a couple of documents that are really disturbing about cognitive warfare, particularly a NATO document about using the internet, especially social media, Twitter included, as kind of a, the whole NATO document is disturbing. We should probably do a show on it. It's called Cognitive Warfare, The Battle for the Brain. And when you read this, it talks a lot about what I'm saying. These giant accounts that they be, people start to see these accounts in their feeds constantly, and they start to think that not only is that person's information correct without looking for it, but they start to think that they identify with that person and that they think that too. This is part of the cognitive warfare we're in, this 5G warfare using social media. So there is a danger on Twitter with the algorithm kind of pushing certain voices that are so amplified, and oftentimes you and I will see it and we'll know, well, that's not true or that's not right. But because they have so many followers and so many shares, I think people think that, and we're not really sure if the back end of Twitter that were revealed in the Twitter files by Matt Taibbi and Barry Weiss and the other journalists who were able to look at that, I don't know that the back doors and whatever that were in there to begin with are gone. I didn't see any evidence of that. And again, I understand that people love Elon Musk, but I also understand that he's the biggest defense contractor for the United States government. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we have to be honest, DARPA and InQtel really funded a lot of social media for the exact purpose of what it did, which was to control the narrative, control the message, and also to spy on us. I am very, very against. I feel like our liberty and our privacy has been violated beyond comprehension. And again, I don't know. I'm glad that people have a voice, but I am very skeptical of the amplified voices on there and exactly how that works, because I would rather see you in my feed 14 times a day than the people I do, because I happen to know, A, that they're getting paid, which is, I don't think, a good thing, and B, their information is usually about 30% facts and the rest conjecture, yet they're taken as these are authority figures, at least on Twitter. And again, I think that that's always kind of dangerous.
That's just another form of propaganda. You know, yeah. If they're paid to be able to say these things, it's sort of like, and I know that you've seen those collages where they have like all the different stations, television stations across the country on any given day, all given the same script, and they're all saying the exact same thing. I mean, yeah. It's just a way to propagandize what the government wants them to do. I hadn't ever really thought about it that way for the Twitter and Facebook and Instagram celebrities, but I am 100% sure you're right. I'm going to rethink that. What is your personal take? What do you think about Elon personally? I mean, and who he is, and I have some real reservations about who he says he is and who he wants us to believe that he is.
Right. Well, I mean, the most disturbing thing was the hero worship by people that are supposed to be heroes. You know, that was the first shocking thing to me, seeing people that I look up to that all of a sudden Elon was letting them back on Twitter, letting people, and he was the hero for free speech, and he was such a champion. Whenever anyone is treated like that, and the amount of power that this man now has on planet Earth, I know he's the biggest contractor for the United States military, but I don't know if anyone's looked into where else he is the biggest contractor. I also am I warn a lot about Agenda 2030 and the 17 development goals, especially the number 16, which they say is about corruption and international banking and all this different stuff. Well, those satellites that they need to have the full track and trace surveillance, that is Agenda 2030, are Elon Musk satellites. So there's many, many things that are confusing about his whole MO. And then the other thing is, I happen to think that they function, this group, as the parent company of planet Earth in some way. And I believe that he is in that group of people. So if he's in an internal struggle with them or is acting as if he is, and again, a lot of the technology you've looked into, I've certainly looked into it when it comes to surveillance, track and trace, and the long-term game, transhumanism. I do not think there is anything positive about Neuralink. I understand what people are saying. I also believe that any of that technology in the hands of the wrong people is as dangerous as can be. And to me, the World Economic Forum are the wrong people. So there's just many, many things, but it's the hero worship of Elon Musk, treating him as if he has given people something that was taken away from them. is very bizarre in a very strange way to frame somebody. And if he retweets you or something, you're suddenly, you know, you matter. It's just, it's very odd. And I just think people should be very wary of anyone having that kind of power, especially when you take it to the next level of the military and military industrial complex, Department of Defense. I mean, that's where COVID came from. And you and I know that. So the whole thing is all very disturbing.
Yeah, when I look at him, he just has always, ever since, even before he bought Twitter and all the different social media stuff that has happened, he just has such blank, soulless eyes. I mean, it's like there's just soullessness there. And I don't mean to be super judgmental, but that's just my observation. And then when he went to that, what was it, a Christmas party or Halloween party with the big Baphomet thing?
Yeah. And then he wore a New World Order jacket that you couldn't see it because it was white on white. Yeah, he does lots of stuff like that. He also is very, very close with a lot of these billionaire oligarchs. You've seen pictures of them everywhere. You know, he is in their club. So we always have to remember that, you know, that's a group of people, like I said before, that really are, do believe that they are superior to this planet. I mean, I don't know where the end game is with him, but I do know that I see zero evidence that there is not still a back door to Twitter. And nobody's even asked for that, which is odd.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of master rulers and who want to rule us all over the world, what's your take on this looming vote on this WHO treaty that would just absolutely, I mean, between that and the central bank digital currency, if they really pull that into place and the BRICS nations, I don't know, everybody seems to want to make Russia be the bad guy, but sometimes I'm not so sure. I mean, because of what they're doing with trying to get away from the dollar and away from all the different things that are happening, setting up their own currencies and not going with the central bank digital currency, but that's another topic. But between the central bank digital currency and the World Health Organization treaty, I mean, it's like the master enslavement that if we go with that, I don't see us getting out of it. What is your take on what do you think that vote's going to look like in a couple of months?
Well, I agree with you 100%. But like I said, I believe both Bushes, Obama, Clinton, and Biden are all in on the global governance plan. I believe also that one thing that a lot of people don't really look at, and it happened about 6 months before they rolled out the plandemic, there was a meeting by Larry Fink, who's not just the head of BlackRock that basically owns America and all of our media and everything else. He also was on the board of the World Economic Forum and one of the architects of not just the Great Reset, but the ESG score. He also happens to be in the Council Foreign Relations Board. But again, BlackRock is the only company that freely works in the Chinese Communist Party run China as well. So this is a real figure out there that should matter. And six months or so before the pandemic rolled out, I had reported on a meeting that he had in Wyoming in Jackson Hole, where he gave a speech that I call it the going direct speech, where he talks about basically that the banks and the multinational corporations are basically going to have to skip the government and go right for the people, and that they would be controlling behavior. There's speeches of him talking about it too, but this was a private meeting between what they call the stakeholders of the global public-private partnership, public being the people that control us, not us. And so to me, what we're talking about with the World Health Organization is one of the many spokes of them closing the tentacles of what I call the octopus of global control, because all of them line up with the 17 goals of the sustainable development goals of Agenda 2030. And that is the health piece. But what's happened also that I'm sure your audience knows is really important is that the World Health Organization, not only I believe to be a giant money laundering situation as well, just as the IPCC, Club of Rome, is on the climate end. But the amount of money that's going in there to the amount of what is coming out of there is very concerning, A. And B, they've changed the definition of a pandemic. So now the pandemic includes systematic racism, anti-equity, like it includes gun violence. It includes all kinds of different things that they've changed full-on definitions in there of what a virus is. So they are changing all this stuff to keep up. And I believe that the World Health Organization is a tool of the globalists. It is not what it seems. And we have to remember that during COVID, they had that whole tactical team there, which our member was Cass Sonstein, who's right now writing the legislation for the border that's keeping it open and changing the definition of illegals and of asylum. You know, these people use language and manipulate it, and we should be very weary of the language in that, A. B, the American people would never sign on for anyone to ever have a cede our sovereignty at the call of a pandemic by somebody who has no background. And what I see of Tedros is he was picked by the Chinese Communist Party and Bill Gates out of, you know, nowhere. But again, I think that these are all the different spokes of the, like you said, it's totalitarian, technocratic, global track and trace surveillance run by AI and algorithms, and this small group of people, I call them the Davos crew, and they certainly are run by people above them in the banking cartel, but that is one of the spokes. There's another thing coming up as well that is just as dangerous. It's the UNR common agenda that I believe Biden will sign on to as well. I believe he will sign on to the pandemic treaty, and I believe that he will sign on to the coming climate treaty as well. Because Trump pulled out of the Paris Climate Accords, he re-entered them, he re-entered, Trump pulled out of WHO, he re-entered it, Trump pulled out of UNESCO, he re-entered it. UNESCO is what's behind a lot of what's happening in our schools. So to me, the pandemic treaty is one of the spokes of Agenda 2030 that they need to put into place for the entire thing to work.
You know, and I know that you know this, that they noticed this, that they have creeped up on their timeline. I mean, it was Agenda 2030, and now they keep talking about Agenda 25.
Right.
That either means, in my opinion, one of two things. Either they know they've got to do this faster, or because so much resistance is building, and, you know, even the woke people are starting to wake up. And so it's, you know, from a different perspective, if they have to shorten that timeline, or if there's, you know, Planet X is going to show up and they have to have a school on board at the same time. If they have to, you know, their depopulation agenda hasn't worked fast enough. They didn't get enough people to take the COVID jab, you know, do that. But they're creeping up on this timeline. And that kind of goes back to what you said in the first part of the show about it being a very, it's backfiring on them. They're becoming very desperate. And that's good news for us. And so in the last few minutes that we have on our show here today, what do you think needs to happen, and how do people need to get engaged in this game? You know, so many people are going, oh, they're just COVID. They're COVID fatigued. They don't want to talk about COVID anymore. And even if they've had the jab, what are they going to do about it? There's really no detoxing those proteins out of your DNA, no matter what anybody tells you. And it's, you know, what are we going to do? And, you know, might as well just eat, drink, and be merry and, you know, live out my life. I just am not going to get engaged. And I think that's the worst thing that people could do. So how do we, you know, rally the troops, get people engaged? And where do we have to forward focus in order? We can't undo this. We need to do something different. Where should we be aiming our gun? Where should we be aiming our interests?
Yeah, well, I mean, first and foremost, we have to realize we can't vote our way out of this. No matter who becomes the president, right. even, you know, there's a lot of people out there that seem to think Trump's going to become president and everything's going to get better. That's not true. The real problem here, I have a book coming out that I wrote about exactly what we're talking about. And my book is about a recovery program for the American citizen, because the problem in America is us. We, the people of the United States, did not heed the calls of our founders to be forever vigilant and realize that freedom was only one generation away from being lost. And I think that it's the American citizens have become so comfortable. There's a lot of propaganda, like we talked about earlier, a lot of learned helplessness, a lot of the idea that the government will provide for you. All of that is fraudulent. What we've done is we've lost our liberty, most importantly, individual liberty, individual responsibility, looking at what we know is wrong on a massive scale and taking action, because they are afraid of us. You know, there's that quote, I believe it's by Madison, when we are afraid of the government, it's tyranny. When the government is afraid of us, it's liberty. And the truth of the matter is, there's many things that should be undone. First of all, lobbying should be illegal. It is legalized bribery that only benefits those that are in power and takes away the voice of the people. NGOs should never be non-for-profits. They should always be also by private money only, no government grants, no taxpayer money to any NGOs. think tanks, if they exist, they should be privately funded with all transparency and funding. These giant spending bills, every single person that is signing on to any of these earmarks needs to be the person that is held accountable for all of it. We don't want to hear what their think tanks or anyone said. They should be doing that work themselves. I also believe that everyone that works in Washington, D.C. should have to live where their constituents are, not in Virginia or D.C. proper, first and foremost. On top of that, we, the people of the United States, like you said earlier, have to start treating the people that we elect as employees, meaning I don't care that you know their names, they should know your name. And that goes from the local level to the top level. You should be watching everything that they're doing. You know, we have a very, very bad situation with a lot of unconstitutional agencies. What we do need is some brave lawyers and some brave citizens to start dismantling on the local level, the state level, and in the national level. Anything that is unconstitutional should not exist and should be sent back to the state. There should be no Department of Education. There should be no EPA. These are not things that should be done in the federal government. And again, they keep saying that they've hired so many people. The jobs report is sky high. That is all people that are working for the government because they keep expanding with more agencies and more oversight and more regulations. All of that is unconstitutional. And most of all, we have to start taking going back to the old school days where we knew our neighbors. And I suggest something. I have a book coming out called Americans Anonymous, kind of based on the 12-step program of and the first step is realizing that there's a problem. And the second one is that you are the problem. And the third one is finding fellowship and God as you understand him and deciding what you're going to do about it. I think the American people have to really put pen to paper, old school, spend some time inside and think of what they want for this country in the future. Because for me right now, there's a lot of help wanted signs for leaders and heroes. And we need them in every neighborhood, in every part of this country. We don't know what's upcoming, but we should have, like when I was little and there were robberies in my neighborhood, that all the parents got together and started neighborhood watch. We should have freedom watch groups in every neighborhood, in every county in this country that are paying attention to the contracts and the 17 goals and where the UN and the World Economic Forum are rearing their heads in your communities. And, you know, really start there on a grassroots level, but realize that this was a long game. They've been planning this for decades. And to weed it out, we have to all find our purpose and our passion and get involved. And once you get involved, as you and I know, it takes on a life of its own. You can really redefine your purpose in life, meaning, or what matters to you. And if you really start to think about that you have stake in this nation, that this is your country and you take it personally, you know, there's so much to do and there's so much that can be done. And I don't care what you did with your life before this time. We are in a battle, good versus evil. We are coming to a end game, a standoff. And I mean, I know I personally don't want to be somebody that says, you know, when somebody says, what did you do when tyranny and totalitarianism were knocking on the door of America? I want to be the person to say that I stood up and I fought back and I made sure it didn't happen. And I think that we just really have to encourage people to take that tack.
So Mel, what is the name of your book again, and when is it coming out? It's just, I can't hardly wait to get it.
It's called Americans Anonymous, and it'll be out not too long from now. It's having its final touches, and I basically use the 12-step program of recovery and said, you know what? The American people need a recovery. We need an intervention. We need a recovery. And we need to get back the spirit of 1776 inside our hearts and minds and then make sure the next generation is turned around and on that same track.
Well, when you could get that out, we need to have you back on again. Not on this show, but on our 10 penny this week with Dr. T on Monday mornings, because that's got and we really need to promote this, because I just think even the concept of having that level of revival for the American people is just brilliant, and just really brilliant of how you did that and take that on. So in the last just couple of seconds we have here, tell people where they can find you and where they can follow you and where your podcasts are.
Okay, great. And I'm so glad to connect with you. You've always been somebody I so admired, and I love seeing you out there, and you're always such a fighter. It's really been inspiring to me. So thank you for having me again. I am at themelkshow.com. I have a free resource page there. So all the things I'm talking about, Agenda 2030, and many of the other things I mentioned on the show, I have receipts there. I call them opposition playbooks. I get all the information from the people that I believe are responsible for this. And I put it out there. These documents are disappearing fast from the internet, especially from Google. So I put them there for you to read. I am on the Mel Kay Show is on Rumble every single night, live at 7:30, 7 nights a week. And everywhere that podcasts respect free speech, so not YouTube, but basically everywhere else. And I started again, like you said, I had to start over on Twitter. So I'm at Mel Kay Show. And I started over on Instagram at The Mel Kay Show. So those are where you can find me. And I try to have on people way smarter than me that fill in the dots. But at the end of the day, it's we, the people of the United States, that will change this world.
Amen to that, Mel. And it's been such a pleasure with having you on here tonight. I apologize to my viewers that we only could see her picture over there instead of actually having a real interface, but it's a Skype issue. So hopefully by next week, we will have this figured out. So with that, I want to thank you so much. One more time, go to learningforyou.org/5docs2024 to enroll in the 5 Docs Bootcamp. And as we close out, I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible that I close all my broadcasts with, whether they're live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, lean into God. Have a great week, everyone. Good night and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body's vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.